General Meetings, Des Moines, May 1973. Address by John Brereton.
Item number 321. Behold the Lamb whose precious blood, drawn from his riven side, had power to make our peace with God, nor lets one spot abide. 321. Some brother would start it for us. Just recently, I heard a story about a little boy. And this little boy made a boat. And he spent a great deal of time in the making of this little boat. And then he took it out sailing one day, and the boat sailed away. And some days later, he was walking down the street of the town where he lived, and he saw his boat, and it was for sale in the window of a store, the very boat that he had made. And he went into the store, and he bought the boat. And the story goes that as he came out of the store, he said to the boat, "You are now twice mine. I made you and I bought you." Well, you know, dear young people, what we would like to speak to you about this afternoon is for those of the dear young people here that belong to Christ, that know that not only were they created, but that they have been redeemed, that they have been bought, that they now belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we look at the verses, and there are a number of them that I have on my heart this afternoon, I would like to look first of all at the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." You know, God has not answered all our curious questions, dear young people. He has answered in this precious book everything that we need to know pertaining to life and godliness. There is no answer that is vital to your pathway, to your salvation, to your pathway, to your walking to please God, that isn't revealed here in this book. But there are secret things that belong unto the Lord our God. And when we come, as we go through the Word of God, we come to things where God is silent, where the Word of God doesn't answer a question that comes into our minds, perhaps. I suggest, dear young people, it would be well for us to remember what is written here, that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us. Now would you turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the 18th verse. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." What I have on my heart this afternoon to talk about, and I trust the words will be, as we heard yesterday, directed first and foremost to one's own heart, is the fact that you and I belong to another. That a great cost has been paid that you and I dear young people, might belong to Christ. And what we find here in this first chapter of Peter is the announcement of that by which we are redeemed, the precious blood of Christ. Now we can read an expression like this. Our dear brother, in speaking to the children this morning, mentioned how we should pause and consider as we read the Word of God. Because this declaration, the precious blood of Christ, has a wealth of meaning to it that you and I could never possibly exhaust. But oh, beloved young people, what blessing there is in it for us. When we explore, I trust reverently, with unshod feet, as the Word of God puts it, this expression, the precious blood of Christ. You notice how it says in the 20th verse, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, dear young people, you and I have been redeemed. We belong to the Lord Jesus this afternoon. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And when we think of the precious blood of Christ, it automatically, does it not, take our thoughts back to Calvary. But God has shown us here that the plan, that the one whose precious blood was shed, the one who is the Lamb, that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Your redemption, the fact that you have been bought, that you now belong to Christ, is not, and I say it reverently, dear young people, it is not the result of a haphazard plan, but it is the result of that which God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit purposed in a past eternity, that the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, should be the Lamb of God's providing. He should be the one who should come into the world and whose precious blood should be shed in order that you and I might belong to Him. Now, when God speaks about the precious blood of Christ in this chapter, we find, as we said, first of all, that He would draw our attention to that which was foreordained before the foundation of the world. But then we find that God has revealed to us in the Word, dear young people, that the question of the blood and being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ is all part of a plan that unfolds in the Word of God as we go through it. Would you turn with me now to Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. This has been referred to as the beginning of the tracing of the pattern of the blood through the Word of God. The bloodline, it has been referred to, I believe. But we find here that as God begins to reveal to us in the Word of God what He would have us to know concerning the precious blood, He starts off here by giving us to see something very simple. And that is that for Adam and Eve to be clothed, it required the death of an animal. That something had to die in order that these coats of skins might be provided for Adam and Eve. Now would you turn over to the fourth chapter of Genesis and the third verse. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Well, now here we find, beloved young people, that something more is added. That we are given to see here that not only was it a matter of the sacrifice of another, but that the offering was to be made to the Lord. That there was an offering called for, and that this offering was to be made to the Lord. And that the offering that had associated with it the blood was the offering that was accepted of the Lord. Now if you turn over with me to the 12th chapter of Exodus for a moment. The 12th chapter of Exodus and the 5th verse. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. If you go down to the 13th verse. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now here, beloved young people, we find that something more has been added. As God opens up to us the pattern of that by which you and I are redeemed, we find here that not only is it a matter of a sacrifice being made, not only is it a matter of the offering being made to God, but we find two more things brought before us here. One is that that precious blood was to be applied to the doorposts and lintel, and God said, when I see the blood. That is, God brings before us here the thought for our souls that the blood is for the eye of God. That God sees the blood. And when he sees the blood, those who are under its shelter are protected from the storm of judgment. I'm sure these things are not new to you, dear young people. But I trust you'll bear with me as we go along, because I believe, at least for one's own soul, that God has a beautiful pattern for us in the Word of God, leading up to that expression, the precious blood of Christ. So we find here that the blood is seen by the eye of God. And he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the children of Israel, under the shelter of that blood, were perfectly safe. The animal had been killed. The blood had been applied so that they were secure. And God saw the blood and passed over them. Now would you turn over to the book of Leviticus and the 16th chapter. We won't take the time to read this whole chapter, but I'm sure you're familiar, or many of you are familiar, with what we have here, and that is It is the sacrifices that Israel was called upon to offer on the Day of Atonement. But I draw your attention particularly to the 11th verse. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. So shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. Now we find here that God adds something else. And that is that the sacrifice was killed. That is, Aaron was to take the sacrifice and kill it. But the blood was to be carried inside the veil and put upon the mercy seat. That is, God was, I believe, bringing before our hearts here for us to see, dear young people, that the sacrifice was necessary. The animal had to die. But the precious blood of that animal, that blood which was shed of that animal, had to be brought in and put upon the mercy seat, presented to the eye of God. Now, beloved young people, God has written these things. These are not secret things. He has written them for us to see and to understand, at least in measure, and to rejoice in. Because, beloved young people, these all have to do in our understanding of why it is that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Now, God had before him in writing these instructions for Israel, and they were very explicit instructions. It wasn't left to their imagination to choose or to decide what should be done or how it should be done. They were given detailed, definite instructions what to do. And as you know, I'm sure, God had before him a lamb. In that verse that we read in 1 Peter 1, it speaks about as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You recall how in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, it says, God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now let's turn over to another well-known verse in the first chapter of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here, beloved young people, was the one whom God had before him when he wrote about those coats of skins. The one whom God had before him when he wrote about Abel's sacrifice. About the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts. about that sacrifice on the Day of Atonement and the blood being brought into the very holy place. Beloved young people, this was the one. This was the person that God had before him, the one who is your Redeemer and mine. And so we find he announces here in this first chapter of John, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, beloved young people, for us to see, for us to understand in any measure, we have to see that this was all part of God's plan. God had had a Lamb before him, foreordained, before the foundation of the world. And here he is, his own Son. Would you turn over with me now to the 10th chapter of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." And then if you would turn back to the 2nd chapter of Hebrews, and the 9th verse. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor." And then if you notice the 14th verse of the 2nd chapter, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Now, beloved young people, we find that God's Lamb was coming into the world. And in order for him to come into this world, God provided him with a body. "A body hast thou prepared me." When we turn over here to the 2nd chapter of Hebrews, we find, beloved young people, that the Word of God tells us that he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That is, the Lord Jesus came into this world with a body by which he could suffer death. There was no suggestion and is no suggestion in the Word of God that he was under any necessity of death. We should always be clear about that. There was no sin attached to the person of the Lord Jesus in any way. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him sin was not. But he had a body that was capable of death. And we find that not only was it a body that was capable of death, but it was a body that consisted of flesh and blood. As it tells us in the 2nd chapter in the 14th verse, "As the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." Beloved young people, let's pause for a moment and just consider the miracle of grace that this is. Here was the one who ever and always was God, the one who was with God, the one by whom all things were made that was made. And now we're told that this one, he took part of flesh and blood. He became the man, Christ Jesus, never ceasing to be God. But he became that which he was never before, a man, in order, beloved young people, that he might die to redeem you and I, to redeem us to God by his blood. And so we find presented to us here the Lamb of God, a man here in this world, having partaken of flesh and blood, one who has taken upon himself a body prepared by God for him in order that he might suffer death. Now would you turn back, before we go on with this, turn back to the 17th chapter of Leviticus for a moment. The 17th chapter of Leviticus and the 11th verse. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The 14th verse. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Dear young people, can we not understand now, as we read the 17th chapter of Leviticus, why it was that when the sacrifice was offered in the 16th chapter, the blood was carried in and presented upon the mercy seat? Can we not see how in that blood presented before the eye of God, there was that which spoke to God of the life that had been given up, of the animal that had been killed, because God had said, the life is in the blood. And here is the blood presented before the eye of God, upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And God looks upon it and sees that life that was given up, that animal that was killed, in order that this blood might be presented here. And we find that when it was done according to God's order, Aaron was accepted. And after he had made his offering and presented the blood upon the mercy seat, he came out. Now we find the Lord Jesus presented to us as the Lamb of God. We find that he has partaken of flesh and blood. But, beloved young people, we find that there is a vast difference between this Lamb, this Lamb of God's providing, and all other sacrifices that had ever been made. Would you turn over with me to the 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes for a moment? Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Notice the words. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Now would you turn to the 10th chapter of John's Gospel for a moment. I hope you'll bear with me, dear young people, in turning to all these passages. But at least for my own soul, I believe it presents to us a lovely pattern. The 10th chapter of John's Gospel and the 18th verse. No man, I should read the 17th verse. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Oh, beloved young people, we find that here in the book of Ecclesiastes, talking about all other men, they have no power to retain the Spirit in the day of death. They have no control over when they die or when they do not die. But this man, this Lamb of God's providing. The Word of God tells us here that He had received a commandment from His Father. He had power to lay down His life. He had power to take it again. You remember how in each one of the sacrifices that was offered, the priest killed the sacrifice, killed the animal, and presented the blood before the eye of God. But we find that in the case of God's Lamb, in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, He, though a man in every way, sin apart, yet, beloved young people, this man, the man Christ Jesus, He had power to lay down His life. He had power to take it again. He was God the Son. And here we find that in John's Gospel, we are reminded, and we will find out why in a few minutes, we find out why it is that God brings this before us in John's Gospel particularly, that this person, the one beloved young people, and may it speak to your heart and mind, the one who died for us at Calvary, He had the power to lay down His life. In the 12th chapter of John, it tells us, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If the Lord Jesus had not died upon the cross, He would have abode alone. But, beloved young people, His death at Calvary has brought forth much fruit. Now we find here that God speaks to us and shows to us from His Word that there is this difference. This man, his death is going to be a voluntary offering of himself to God, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now would you turn back to the 27th chapter of Matthew for a moment. 27th chapter of Matthew. And the 26th verse. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. In the 29th verse, and when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And the 35th verse, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. Now, beloved young people, we have come to the cross. The Lord Jesus has been beaten, scourged. He has had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He has had a reed taken, and he was smitten on the head where that crown of thorns was. And we find that he has been crucified. If we were to turn over to the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, we would find there references made to the nails. That means by which crucifixion was carried out at this time. Beloved young people, and I trust I can say this without offending anyone here, brethren, I believe with all my heart that it is no accident, that it is no mistake, that it is no oversight, that there is no mention of blood given in connection with any one of these instances. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, and the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. And God has not made mention of blood in connection with any one of these instances. And so, beloved young people, I submit to your heart and to mine, may you and I follow the wisdom of the Spirit of God. We find, though, that when we come to the 45th verse, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Beloved young people, the center of two eternities, the time when the Lamb of God's own providing was made sin. Made sin, beloved young people. The one who was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. In the language of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he was made sin for us, for you and for me. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it tells us who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. When was that? It was here, beloved young people, in these 3 hours of darkness. When he took the cup which his Father had given him to drink, and as was expressed this morning, he drained it to its last dark drop and left just the love for you and me. We find here that for 3 hours, beloved young people, the Lord Jesus was forsaken of God. There is no way, there is no possible way you and I could ever measure what it meant to one who was holy and one who had ever and always been in the fullest and the nearest possible communion with God, that he should be forsaken of God. We can't measure it, beloved young people. But God has revealed to us in his word that the Lord Jesus did go through these 3 hours of darkness. And he went through them for you. And he went through them for me. And we find here that the Lord Jesus himself lets us know that in those 3 hours of darkness, he was forsaken of God. Forsaken of God in order that you and I might be redeemed. The just, he died. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Now you notice it says in the 50th verse, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, if you would turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 9 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 7. But into the second, that is into the Holy of Holies, I believe, into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Now, beloved young people, we find that God's purpose was that we should be able to enter into the holiest, enter into the very presence of God. But there was a veil.
And now the Lord Jesus here in the 27th chapter of Matthew has died. He has bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. And the veil of the temple, the language that we read here, the veil of the temple is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now Hebrews chapter 9 says that as long as that veil was standing, the way into the holiest was not made manifest. But now, beloved young people, we see that it is. That it was through the Lord's death at Calvary, that through his death upon the cross at Calvary, the way was to be opened up for you and I to enter into the very presence of God. But, beloved young people, we have still the question of the blood of Christ. And we haven't read, and I say it reverently, at least I trust, brethren, I say it reverently, we haven't read of his precious blood yet. Would you turn over with me now to John chapter 19? John chapter 19. The 29th verse. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Beloved young people, do you remember the verse that we read at the beginning? The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. And here we have God's revelation of the precious blood. The soldier with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now, why is it necessary? And I say it reverently, brethren. I'm sure there are brethren here that could explain it much, much better than I. But I can only pass on to you what I believe for my own soul. We found in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel that the Word of God says, "I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again." The Lord Jesus had command over the Spirit in the day of death. And we find that in John's Gospel here, when you read the 30th verse, "And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." If you read it, I believe, in the other translation, it says, "delivered up his spirit," or "dismissed his spirit." The time had come when the Lamb of God's providing had finished what he had come to do. He had endured the forsaking of God upon the cross at Calvary. And now, having finished it, having declared it finished, he now chooses the moment when he delivers up his spirit. When he dies, beloved young people, for you and for me. But, God had required that the blood be presented to the eye of God. God demanded that. As we read in the 16th chapter of Leviticus, the blood had to be presented upon the mercy seat. And we found that it was because the life was in the blood. And the Lord Jesus, his blood was shed here when the soldier pierced his side and forthwith came there out blood and water. Oh, beloved young people, what a miracle of grace. You know the little hymn puts it, I believe, "The very spear that pierced his side drew forth the blood to save." The Lord Jesus had died. And now in this precious blood that flows from his side, all the merits and value of his death are there in that precious blood that meets the eye of God. That meets the eye of God. And God's word says this is record is given that you and I might believe. Oh, beloved young people, here's the record that God has given for us. Not something that is hidden, but something that is revealed for us to see and to rejoice in. The precious blood of Christ flows from that riven side, and this precious blood of Christ, God's eye has seen it. God's eye has seen it in accordance with Exodus chapter 12. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, beloved young people, there is one other thing. The Lord Jesus has died. His precious blood has been shed. The soldier has pierced his side. The blood has flowed forth. The eye of God has seen it. But, beloved young people, at this point in time, and I believe, I trust I can say it reverently, we do not know. We do not know at this point in time as to whether it has been accepted. But when we go to the resurrection, if you'd like turn over with me to the fourth chapter of Romans for a moment. The fourth chapter of Romans and the 25th verse, or the 24th verse. Romans chapter 4. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe that on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Go back for a moment in your mind to the 16th chapter of Leviticus. Here's the priest. The animal has been killed. He has taken the blood and presented it upon the mercy seat. But until he comes forth from within the veil, the children of Israel do not know whether the sacrifice has been accepted. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. That one who was holy, the one who died, whose precious blood was shed here, and God bears record to his precious blood shed for us. But, beloved young people, we have a declaration from God that he has been satisfied. That declaration is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. You and I can look to the cross and say, all my sins were upon him. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And when he rose from the dead, God was saying to your heart and mine that he has seen the blood. That he has seen that precious blood that has in it all the merits and value of his death at Calvary. And he has seen that precious blood, and God is satisfied. The claims of God's throne have been vindicated, and all my sins and yours have been met in that sacrifice. And now in resurrection, I see the one whom God declares has forever satisfied him concerning the question of sin. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, beloved young people, would you turn over to one more verse? And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Beloved young people, here's what the Can we say this is what the point to which we were leading up, and we finally arrived at it? Your temple, your body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us, after that we believe the gospel of our salvation, or your salvation, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And beloved young people, if you and I belong to Christ this afternoon, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have that divine guest in us, and God's Word tells us that it is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that your body is the temple of a guest who is holy. But then it goes on to say, ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. What is the price, beloved young people? All we found in Ephesians, in 1 Peter chapter 1, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, beloved young people, to see that precious blood as that which has answered to God, as that by which we are redeemed, and to see, beloved young people, that the price that was paid, the price that was paid that you and I might belong to another was all the suffering and the death and the shedding of his precious blood at Calvary. All that Calvary means, all that is revealed to us in the Word of God, beloved young people, all the things that we can't even measure, these are all embodied in the price that was paid. The price, beloved young people, that was paid that you and I might belong to another. We are not our own. Now what I ask myself, I ask my own heart, oh, beloved young people, and I trust you will ask your own heart too, does my walk, does my life reflect the fact that such a price has been paid that I might belong to another? Does my life recognize practically that I am not my own, that I have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ? You know, when we get home to heaven, beloved young people, when you and I arrive home in glory, we're going to be singing, unto him who loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, beloved young people, what a future is before us. What a portion is before us. And to think that we can know now that we have been redeemed with that precious blood of Christ. But, oh, beloved young people, I say again to one's own heart, it's one thing to talk about it, and it is another thing entirely for my walk, for my talk, for my ways to reflect, beloved young people, that I belong to Christ. I belong to the one whose precious blood has redeemed me. You know, in the 20th chapter of Acts, we read that expression, the church of God, which he hath purchased with the blood of his own. Oh, what a price has been paid. God has purchased you and I, beloved young people, with the blood of his own, of the one who was so infinitely dear to himself. May we acknowledge it today.